doing well. Some of you don't know which way to shake your heads. You're just doing, right? Hey, I'm going to take your attention over to the book of Acts. I know we read in 1 Peter, and we'll work our way there to that second chapter. But right now, to Acts chapter 4. And here we are reminding ourselves that Peter was preaching, and he was the first preacher, pastor, we'll call him that, ministering the message of the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. The church here in Acts, this, of course, the book of Acts means the acts, the actions of the early church. It's a history book. So you have a history of the church and its very first days of its beginnings and down through the early days of its history. You find a valuable study here, the only history book there is on the church and the start of it. And so enjoy it, and ought to read it often and have a real handle upon what is here. But here in Acts chapter 4, as we think about what Peter was preaching, we are finding out that those are the very things, same things he wrote about in his letters, which we call 1st and 2nd Peter. So we're just kind of comparing some of the things that he said, he wrote about, with the things that he had preached about a few years before that. So if you'd find your way to chapter 4, the book of Acts, and I'd like to read several verses here, or I'll give an attempt to do it as eyes enable me to see here. So Acts chapter 4, we're beginning at verse 1. Again, reading from a New King James Version. It says, "Now as they spoke to the people," that's Peter and John are doing the preaching, speaking here. It says, "The priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." That still disturbs people today. "And they laid hands on them." You know, I don't think it was, "Please come along with me." But they laid hands on them and put them in jail custody until the next day, for it was already evening. The reason they didn't deal with them then was the Jewish court, as you might call it, the Sanhedrin, only met in the morning, and here's afternoon, early evening, so they wouldn't meet till until next morning. But I like verse 4, trust you do. You know, they'd been preaching in chapter 3 about Jesus, and here Luke adds in this little phrase here, "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Would you put up with that if 5,000 people were saved? Or would you say, "What are we going to do with them? Well, how would we handle that? Where would we put them? Lord, don't save 5,000. What would you do with it?" "And it came to pass," verse 5, "and it came to pass," you know, time's going by, overnight, "came to pass on the next day." Now listen to the list. "The next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, and Cappadocia," I call him Cappadocia, "John, Alexander, and many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem." Now there's quite a bunch. And here they bring in Peter and John, and it says, verse 7, "When they set them," that's Peter and John, "in the midst," they got a lot of people around them to talk to, "and they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Oh, you've really done something terrible. Have you done this? Verse 8, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Speaking of Jesus, he says, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they, that is all this group that's around them, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, at least not as they had been, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them, Peter and John, to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, and from now that from now on they speak to no man in his name or this name. So they called them together, commanded them not to speak nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. I think the Spirit of God just puts that verse 22 and injects it in there so that anyone here around 40 or older will say, hey, God takes care of old people too. Aren't you old when you hit 40? Don't you wish you weren't? 23. And being let go. Now notice the wording carefully. Being let go. They, that's Peter and John, went to their own people, their own companions, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice. They didn't say, oh no, what are we going to do now? What did they do? Raised their voice. The they, by the way, in verse 24, and when they, that's the church. Remember, the church has just barely gotten started. We got some folks who have believed on Jesus gathering together. When they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, look, You know, Lord, you are God who made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say anything of the other things he possessed was his own, for they had all things common. No, we're not going to cover all that. Say amen. Maybe not get too far at all, the way the voice is acting. But anyway, when you look down through the chapter, and while our emphasis is to be upon verse 11, probably more next week than this one, but when you think down through the chapter, we are just stand in awe, at least we should, with regard to this verse 1, the people heard the word because someone gave it out. Someone has to do it, right? In Romans, you know, how shall they hear except a preacher? Except someone preach, except someone teach, someone give out the word of God. And while we can have an emphasis upon a preacher and a particular person who pastors a church, but also you have a title upon with regard to those that herald the word, anyone who speaks forth the word. But here we have Peter and John together going and giving out the word of God. And they heard the things preached and declared, as you see in verse 26 of chapter 3. So 3:26, where Peter is saying, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. They've been preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ and declaring him and setting forth that was here. And we'd pray that God, you know, would give ourselves an opportunity each day, as we have recorded here, of declaring the Lord Jesus Christ and presenting him. Look at, just notice down verse 4, if you would, please. We'll make it verse 5. It came to pass, this is chapter 4, verse 5. Came to pass on the next day, the rulers and all, we got all these people gathered together down through verse 6. And when they set them, verse 7, set them in their midst, you know, by what power or by what name have you done this? And they said, well, we've been declaring the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been declaring his crucifixion, been declaring his resurrection. It's God's grace here that he allows these folks one more time to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These folks who had indeed rejected him, had a hand in his death, and these folks who were supposed to be the spiritual leaders with regard to the nation, however, have become those that are only concerned about their own care and their own prestige and their own place. And so God's great grace, once again, for them to hear the message of His grace. I think of that often when folks get together and gather and they really aren't expecting to hear about Christ. I remember back when my dad came to my college graduation, and my mom and one of my sisters, her husband, dad did not know Christ, and mom either. And of course, a graduation at a Baptist Bible college, you're going to hear about Christ. And I just think of that so many times when different places folks go. Many times if folks wind up at a funeral where the one who had passed away was a believer in Christ, then it's going to be a message about God and Christ, the resurrection, the joy of Jesus and what it means to belong to Him. Many times at a wedding that's really a Christian wedding, and the only thing that makes a wedding a Christian wedding is that the husband to be and the wife to be know Christ as Savior, and a message is given at most Christian funerals. Once again, the grace of God being presented. And here are these folks, these who had done and had a hand in the crucifying, are those that by God's grace are hearing again about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's part of one of the ways of God, just His great mercy to spread out and to allow folks to hear it. And who encouraged and gave boldness to them? And look at verse 8. Where did this boldness come from? This encouraging at the right time and the right place and kind of the right opportunity to give forth the things of the Word of God. Well, Peter, it says, verse 8, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and so on of the people. So the Spirit of the things of God working in their hearts, and here in Peter's to give forth the Word and to give out the Scriptures and declare what was there, always reminds me, and it should remind us of Luke in chapter 12. Remember this account from the lips of Christ? Luke 12, sometimes we say, what shall I say? How could I ever, I could never answer someone when they ask me different things with regard to what's there. Well, you remember, you look at Luke in chapter 12 and you get this reminder in our hearts and souls. Here's Christ speaking. Luke 12 and verse 11. He says, now when they bring you to the synagogues, the magistrates and authorities, well, that's where Peter's at. That's where John's at. They've been brought in. Do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. Don't think, well, I got it all written down here in a piece of paper. I got to read this. No, he says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And then the Spirit of God in teaching, instructing, and Peter standing up in boldness and preaching with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking as I wrote these things and reviewed them for today a little bit. I said, well, maybe that's what we need to be praying for the church here. Do you ever ask God, send us a pastor just like Peter? You ever pray that way? Or like John? You know, these guys were bold for Christ. They knew the Scriptures. They loved this whole new thing going on then called the local church, which Christ had purchased with his body, His blood. They were people who spoke up for Christ. They were those that encouraged and inspired others with regard to the things of the Lord. And what a great way as you're praying for those who are searching and helping and taking the leadership and looking for the pastor that God has for the church, to be thinking that way. Just a thought to throw out at you. Maybe Peter would be too rough. Maybe he would step on toes too much. I don't know. But a pastor like Peter or like John, someone under the Holy Spirit's indeed guidance and with boldness to stand up and speak up and not give up with regard to the things of the Word. So the Holy Spirit, you know, does the same today as He did then. It's the same Holy Spirit here now as it was there at the beginning of the church. As we are filled by His Word, as we read His Word and study it and think through it and sit through great lessons from the Word of God, as we had in the Sunday school class this morning, and as I encourage you to come, be a part of Sunday school and get fed and built up in the things of Christ, as we fill ourselves with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in us indeed controls us and uses us to give out the Word with boldness here as we have it in verse 8 that's set before us so clearly. I call it Peter's power phrase. You got the three P's. Peter's power phrase in verse 10. And it's this. He says, let it be known to you. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel. You know, let it be known. It's kind of a gentle command, but it's that of speaking up and let it. Peter uses it three or four times. Paul uses similar to it several times. And it's a reminder to us that we can talk to others about the Lord Jesus. Let the Word of God be known. Let it be known. Let it be known to all that are around us. Here were folks who were truly against the Lord and against anyone speaking about the Lord. And Peter says, let it be known to you all, verse 10, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, this has taken place, that is before us. When he comes down to verse 11, Acts chapter 4, 11, this is the stone, that is this Jesus Christ, the stone which was rejected by you, speaking to those Jewish religious leaders, by you builders. Builders are supposed to build up, the picture is of a building, or build up the people, which has become Christ as the chief cornerstone. And then the great verse, verse 12, put before us salvation in none other. So Peter puts the blame where the blame belongs. He speaks to those leadership there. And when they saw his boldness, I always like the phrase, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, saw it and they spoke and declared what it was, and I think on that phrase what it is to see boldness. And has to do with that of the way they're speaking forth. And what do they say? They say, we cannot, verse 20, we cannot bespeak what we've seen and heard. That's all we can say. That's for you and I. That's all we can say. What we have spoke, what we have heard. And that's what we do, right? We can but speak what we have seen and heard. This week passed, it was time to clean out my shop because I get lots of junk in it after a while, good junk, usable junk. Well, after a while, I just take it to the scrapyard. And so it was time to fill up the van, empty all the chairs, seats out of the van, and put this stuff in, and my neighbor had some stuff, and so we got it all together and took it to the scrapyard. And they have to divide up all the stuff for different categories of what it is. But anyway, got it done, and I thought, well, since I'm down this way, and the reason for scrapping the stuff was to have some money to go and buy some paint to paint the deck with. And so I headed over to Home Depot, and I was happy the paint was on sale. It's always good, isn't it? That means they knocked 10% off of the what they should have been 40% to get it down to somewhat of the price. But anyway, so I was taking it out and out to the car, van. I saw this man struggling to put some big sheets of wallboard, 12 foot long, and so on. I said, you want some help? And he needed help. And so I helped him get it in. And I said, well, I've needed help lots of times too, and always glad to help if I can. Glad I was here. And he says, thank you so much. Thank you. Lord bless you. And I went from my pocket for what? Gospel of John. I didn't have any. So I picked up my cans, or well, I had them in the cart, pushed them to my vehicle, unloaded the stuff, got out of the van one of my Gospels of John, went back to there, and he was still loading some other stuff. So helped him a little bit with that, and then he was trying to figure out how to close up the tailgate because everything was sticking out, and it was probably wound up out in the road someplace. I don't know, but helped him tie that down, and he said, again, thank you, thank you. Then he says, the Lord bless you. And I said, well, the Lord has blessed me. He's blessed me with his word, with the scriptures, and here's a great little book to read. And I wish it was in Spanish because I don't think he spoke much English. But I gave him what I had. And, you know, the Lord puts before us when we got to be ready and alert to them, brings along opportunities, puts them in hand right before us. You know, after we have been out speaking about Jesus' death, speaking about Jesus, the resurrection, after we've been out and about through a week giving out the gospel and looking for opportunities and being ready to give an answer to every man who asks us, the reason of the help is in us. After we've done all that, then what are we supposed to do? Well, the scripture tells us, doesn't it? What we're supposed to do. When you read down through here and you think about it, you know, verse 20, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, that's the same for us. And you move along down a little bit more, down to verse 23. As Peter and John were let go away from this arrest time, it says they went to their own. They went to their local group of their church, their companions as used here, and as they went there, they gathered together and reported what had taken place. They brought home the message of what was going on, and when the church heard what had taken place, you know, they'd been talking about Jesus, they got arrested, spent the night in jail, and out of jail, got another opportunity among all the bigwigs of the religion to speak to them and to give their testimony again and to talk about the Lord Jesus and to tell them the one you had rejected was the one that God had accepted. And when they get together and they're talking about it and they're presenting it, they're saying, here's what happened when we talked about Jesus. Verse 24, so when they, that's the church, heard that, they raised up their voice to God with one accord, all in agreement, and said, the Lord, you are God, you made heaven and earth, and all the praise and glory goes to him. Yes, everyone's against the things of God. Everyone's standing up against the Lord Jesus, verse 25 and 26, and about all that he has. Yes, all the world is what we have in verses 27 and so on down here. So when you have given out the gospel and something has happened with regard to it, or maybe you didn't see anything take place, but you gave it out, what are you to do? You go where God gets the praise and the glory for having given out his word. Gather together with the church, report to the church, rejoice, praise, and give thanks. And together with him, together with all those that are present, and makes others around us even bolder to give out the gospel of Christ, and it makes us to want to get out of the church building and be in the world giving out the gospel where God has placed us. We get out of the church building and we go. You know, that word sounds familiar, right? That as Christ said at the end of his ministry on earth, go ye. And, you know, it's always being ready to go. And it's the idea, as you're going through earth, as you're going through this world, as you're doing whatever you're doing, He says, there we're giving out the gospel and presenting it. And I miss up on opportunities. You ever miss an opportunity and kick yourself a few times afterwards? We all have, right? Done that, been in that situation. We, where we live, right straight across, some new folks, neighbors are moving in. Yesterday, went over to offer help and said who we were and so on. The man says, we've moved 19 times and this is the last one. Not going to move again. And you see, I just wasn't alert. I should have said, well, you're probably going to move one more time. You know, if I just thought about it for a second, if I just take, but we don't till later, right? That happens, right, to us. Oh, I should have said this, could have said that. What a perfect opportunity to have done this or that. But let it go by. I pray God will give me another opportunity sometime to speak with regard to things. But, you know, verse 26 tells us, the kings of the earth took their stand. Rulers gathered together. What were they getting together for? To be against the Lord, against Christ, against your servant, verse 27. Yes, against. Everyone's against, it appears, you know. Against. And so maybe that causes us to hold back from giving out the gospel, or we don't do as we should do with regard to it. You know, yes, against. I just kind of say, well, at least that's one area they're in agreement with. They're against Christ and with regard to him. But it ought to encourage us to speak up, you know. We kind of use, I say, the word squeak up a little bit about the Lord, the resurrection, and where we're at. Verse 29, you just look there at 29. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. Wow. You know, the church gathered together. And I say, it ought to be our prayer as we finish up our time together here today. Lord, grant me, grant our servants, grant us as a unit that to give out the word with boldness. Great words to pray, as you might be praying about. Lord, give us a pastor like Peter. And you got to think about Peter a while. Do I really want to pray that way? Yeah, I think so. Give me a pastor like, and then you'd say, with regard to this portion of Scripture here, you know, Lord, grant to me, unto your servants, that I might have the boldness, that I not just have it, but put it to work, that folks would see the boldness. That's not a haughtiness or a prideful thing, but it's just to speak up with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of the local church. Verse 32 reminds us, you know, they were of one heart, one soul, one mind to give out the gospel. And I just was thinking, why is all this detailed account brought here? Why all these verses? We read through them, and I'm sure you've read them other times. Why all this? Well, God wanted to know how the local church started and what was going on when it started and how things were happening with regard to it. And that as it started, so it is to continue. That there's to be boldness. There needs to be. There has to be. Many times that's mentioned in this portion of Scripture, you know, and we need to open our mouths graciously speak the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we've never been probably threatened or anything along that line with regard to the things of the gospel of Christ, it'd be a wonderful and refreshing thing, you know, to be in a church service and to say, when there's any testimonies, someone to say, this week, you know, God allowed me, give out the Scriptures, to talk to someone about Christ. This week I took some gospel tracts and gave them out. This week, particular spots, you know. Some people didn't like what I was saying. And You know, that's almost a blessing. Someone didn't like it. Ah, good. You know, God's able to handle their threatenings, their dislikes with regard to the gospel. But a boldness in giving out the scriptures and presenting what has been happened in our hearts and lives. And it always says here that, you know, they were preaching the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and presenting why that took place. Well, all of that, talk about a lot of background stuff, all of that takes us back to verse 11 here in Acts chapter 4. And he says, this is the stone, speaking of Jesus Christ, spoken of as a stone. This is the stone. Which really is a topic, you know, that started way back in Genesis. You know that? I'm talking about Christ, the rock. This is the stone which was rejected by you, builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. All the way through, you know, in the Psalms and in Isaiah and in Daniel, this message is brought forth and talked about and presented, all these prophecies with regard to the stone. And then you move along a little further, and Christ talks about it in Matthew, and Paul in Romans and Ephesians, and Peter here in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we read earlier this morning hour. Those powerful religious leaders, God had appointed them and set them up throughout the era of the Old Testament, and they were to be leaders, to be spiritual builders of God's house. Spiritual leaders are to be the witnessing testimony to the world of the Lord Jesus Christ. For which house they were chosen. They were chosen to be the building stones of the house of God. But they rejected one of the stones. They rejected one that they deemed unfit, that God, the master builder, takes this stone and he makes it the capstone or the cornerstone, maybe the keystone is something with emphasis with regard to it. And it's what Jesus Christ spoke about. I'm in 1 Peter now, and I'm just going to read, however, from Matthew 21 as we pull things together and think about these throughout the week ahead. Matthew in chapter 21, Christ spoke about this, and just an important portion in this topic for us to think about. Matthew 21, please, and down at verse 42. 21, verse 42. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. He's bringing the memories of that to the scriptures out of Psalm 118. This was the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And it says the Pharisees, chief priests, and so on, then understood that he was speaking with regard to or about them. Peter takes his passage, his account, out of Psalm 118 as well. When he writes what we have here, Christ is the living stone. There's one of those, if you're ever looking for an oxy Mormonism in the Bible. You got this living stone, a living stone. You know, I brought along a stone that's not living. No matter how much you water it, it won't grow. But just a stone picked up someplace reminds us, well, thinking upon Christ rejected, a living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to God. It is impossible to circumvent, go around the power of the name of Jesus, even as we have reminded in verse 12 and verse 4 there of the book of Acts. Salvation in no other name among men. Think of all the names and peoples there's been on the face of the earth. No other name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord willing, we'll look a little closer at Peter and the rock, the living stone, and how you are a living stones next Sunday. I would even go as far as to encourage you to bring your own rock next week. Bring your own stone. Now, if you got a pet stone, the one you actually paid for it, I hope you did not. But bring that, it's okay. We won't say much about it. Bring a stone. Would you do that? That'd be a great reminder. The glorious illustration that is here in the Scriptures. And in the Scriptures, it's more than just an illustration. It's the actualness who Christ is and who we are. Living stones. This precious and powerfulness of the whole body working together, we've read about in Acts and chapter 4. And you are a part of a body. Here, you are a living stone that's been made to fit with the other living stones, to be that building that God has designed for you to be. And wouldn't it be wonderful if next Sunday, one or two or more of you are able, willing, stood up and said, here's what God did this week when I gave out his word. Some would say, you know, well, there were some people didn't like it. They didn't want to hear it. But you gave it out anyway. Others say, I'll think more about it. There in Acts it says, many believe as the word was given out. The word isn't given out. Nothing takes place. And then as you would come together, others next Sunday then together, we would rejoice together. We'd say, praise God. It would be a worship service with great encouragement and ministering in it and raising up, as it were, one voice. All together would be one voice raised up to God, united together, encouraging others, and maybe you'd be the one to cause others to be bold for Christ, for the standing up of and giving out of his word, and the encouragement of the church to press on in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, because you are what God ordained you to be, a stone that's living, a living stone. You ever think of yourself that way? I know we're just dirt made from dirt, right? But how about where I'm a stone, I'm a living stone. Well, bring your stone. We'll talk about them next week. Our Father, Bless your word as only you can. We thank you for it. We rejoice that we can read it, think about it. We can know that it's not just a book or just some passing words, but it is the very word of yourself. And you've given it for the church, so it will be strong and it'll not be ashamed and will not worry about who's against it or against what we say, but will be concerned for their souls. Yes, even those that speak against us. Here we have that account, we just read it, of those that had rejected Christ, but you, by your great grace and mercy, one more time allowed them to hear of Jesus. Might you use us this week to be those that would one more time have someone hear about Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.